Om Shanti. So this is a topic that's very dear to my heart. And I studied it for about 3 years, doing different readings, and really realized that I thought I was a good listener, and realized that I wasn't a good listener at all. How many of you think you're a pretty good listener? How many of you think you're not? How many of you aren't thinking? I think we'd be surprised. I usually have a test that tells you, grade you, to let you know if you're a good listener. But I didn't know I was going to do this workshop, so... You know, as nations, we are very expertise in communication with a vast, vast web. And we're advanced in technology with the vast, vast web, aren't we? And it seems to be becoming more advanced and more advanced day by day. But if we look at our individual communications with each other, many times, our communications with each other are hurtful, unsatisfying, and really primitive. Do you agree? I see a lot of you shaking your heads. And so today we're going to talk about, let me move this a little bit so I can reach this. We're going to talk about one of the most important aspects, and that is in communication. I think it's the most important aspect, and that is of listening. And so I feel that it's probably one of the greatest gifts we can give to each other. When you are hurt or you have a challenging situation in your life and you go to a friend, you just want them to hear you, right? And you want them to listen. Listen to you. And what does that feel like when that happens? Just the process of having someone to listen to you alleviates your own pain. Your own sorrow. And so it really does become a gift. But it's not only a gift to the person who is listening, but to the one who is speaking, both. Because when you are listened to, you unfold. What's so funny? Oh, the animations? You blossom, you shine. When someone is listening to you. But as we begin to realize the importance of listening, both parties really benefit immensely. And we're going to talk about some of the skills and the art of listening so that you can transform not only yourself, but your relationships. There are a lot of benefits when you truly listen to others. I'm just going to put them all up here right now. Then people are ready to listen to you. It increases our capacity to help one another. And it brings us closer together. And many times people think that the speaker is the one who has most power. But many times it's the listener that has more power. And actually it takes more determination to listen than to speak. It takes more effort to listen than to speak. Right now it doesn't feel like that to me though. So in learning, how much of learning do you think, what percentage of learning is involved with listening. So there's different ways of learning. We can read, we can journal, we can listen, we can write, journal. So what percentage do you think listening is? Does anyone have any ideas of learning? Think about when you were a child, a baby. You learned a language. Did you write? Did you journal? What did you do? You only listened, and we learned a complete language. When you think about it, that's really amazing, isn't it? And so I think listening is discounted. It's overlooked, the importance of listening. So writing, we learn 9% by writing. 16% of what we learn from reading. 35% from talking. And 40% from truly listening. But I'm saying truly listening, because there's different ways of listening. There's spurt listening. Does that ever happen to you? You're listening, and then all of a sudden, your mind goes somewhere out in left field, and then you come back to the listener? And what about fake listening? Do you ever do that? Especially if someone's boring. I hope none of you are faking on me. So there's the learning part, but there's also the communication part. And this is from the International Listening Association of the United States. And what they say is that all of our communication with each other, 45% of all our communication, is from listening. However, that's a big percent, isn't it? But I already put the answer up. I was going to ask you, what percent do you think of that 45% of the time that we listen, how much are we really not listening? Our mind is wandering, or we're fake listening. 75%. That's a huge amount of all the time we spend listening. 75% of that time, our mind is wandering, we're not listening. And listening is the way we learn. Another interesting thing about listening is sometimes we like to talk to others that are similar to ourselves. Do you find that true with you? Someone who has the same interests, maybe the same culture. But if we just choose to listen to and communicate with those that are like us, is that a way of learning? We learn from differences, not from similarities. But we tend to kind of congregate together and want to listen and talk to others that are similar to ourselves. But if we can broaden our scope of listening and in communicating, thinking about others that are different than us, then we can learn. And actually we become more wise. So just thinking about listening as a gift, an act of love, will increase our capacity to listen within this next hour. Something very magical happens when we're listened to. When we're listened to, it's like a healing that happens within the soul. Have you ever had a child just come to you and is crying, and they open their heart and they tell you what's the problem? And they don't want your advice. They just want to be hugged, they want to be held, they want to be listened to. When you have a challenging situation in your life, do you want advice or do you want to be listened to? What do you think? I'm asking you. You can answer. Listen to yes. So this is going to place a new emphasis on the way we listen to others. So when someone is listened to, there's a core wisdom within each one of us, and without interruptions, when they're listened to, they can bounce back into themselves and touch their own core of wisdom. But if we begin to interrupt and give them advice, how many of you do that? I used to do that. This is called a rescuer. You know what a rescuer is? Your friend is having a problem and you know what to do for that problem. Oh, let me tell you what I did. Don't worry about it. It's okay, you know. And you go on and on and on. And actually, this is a barrier to listening. People don't want advice. When you just stop and listen to someone who's going through a challenging time, they become healed themselves. And within themselves is the solution. But to be able to speak the challenge and for them even to hear the challenge allows that to come back to their core wisdom and figure out what they have to do. They don't need our advice. And most of the time, they don't listen to it anyway. Do you listen to advice of others when you are in a challenging situation? You do? Right. This is the biggest barrier, that we want to rescue others. But the rescuing is just to sit. And because we're BKs, Brahmins, we not only just sit, but we sit in a state of soul consciousness connected with Baba and give him that energy, that purity, that solution that's already within each one of us. The solution is already in each one of us. And just the energy of healing and compassion that we have is what allows them to touch their own wisdom, come up with their own solution. Their solution might be different than your solution. They're in a different place. And so the first lesson of listening is to be silent, to button your lips. That's the greatest gift we can give, and it's probably the most difficult lesson. But when you realize how important it is, and that it does become not only a gift, but a gift of love. And if you take the word silent and listen, it's got the same letters in it. Isn't that amazing? Let's see if I can put it back. Listen. Silent. So when we're listening, we are completely silent. So several years ago, maybe it was 4 or 5 years ago, I came to Madhuban. I was in the middle of this project, and I brought all my books, and I thought, okay, I'm going to experiment. And I was put in a room with several beds, and I was the first one in the room, and someone else came in the room, and it actually was a coordinator for one of the countries. And she came in the room and she said, oh, I don't know why I'm here, last year I had such a bad time. I wasn't going to even come this year. And here I am, and I know I shouldn't have come. And normally, the old me would have said, it's okay, things are different, this is a different year. Be positive, be optimistic. Does that sound familiar? Right? Well, I'm practicing listening, and I did nothing. Nothing. I was sitting on my bed, and then I stood. And for 20 minutes, she went on and on and on, and I just listened to her. But I just didn't listen with my ears. I listened with my heart. I felt truly what she was going through. And she just kept going on and on. And then after that 20 minutes, she looked at me and these huge tears rolled down her cheeks. And you know what she said to me? This is the best welcome I've ever had. This is a true story. This is the best welcome I could ever have. A healing happens when we listen. Not just listen, but listen correctly. And we'll go over that as well. I have another story. It's really funny. So this is when I was in Pandavabhavan, and there was a brother. It was an Australian brother, and he was sitting at the table alone, and I thought, well, he's a pretty talky brother. I'm going to go and sit across from him, which I normally don't do. And I sat across from him, and he started talking and talking, and he was endlessly talking. And every once in a while, just to let him know I was still alive, I'd go, or I'd acknowledge and shake my head and go, really? That was it. I never said anything. And that was the end of that. I got up, I left, and I said, well, okay, maybe it doesn't always work. The next day, I was on one of the floors in Sukhdam, it was, and I walked downstairs, and this brother was ironing his clothes, and he said, Sister Dorothy, I want you to know that was the best conversation I had yesterday. I promise you, these are true stories. I did nothing. They probably should sew our lips up, maybe. So this is a big barrier, to be a rescuer, to give advice, just to sit and give those vibrations, give Baba's vibrations. I think I'm going backwards here. So we do want to say, when someone's really in a challenging situation, we can say a few words like, well, I know how it feels. I know I can feel what you're going through. I know what it must be like. But that's it. Just words that can console. Just a loving touch. Small words, small sentences. So we see that silence is really golden. Why is it golden? Because others do have, at the core of their own being, wisdom. And you're being connected with Baba and your soul conscious state allows them to really touch their own wisdom even greater. Do we have any parents in this room? Any of you have children? Okay. Have you ever picked your kids up from school? Yes? And they're in the back seat and you're in the front seat? And you're driving? Yes? Yes? You're driving along and you say, and they're in the back seat, well, how was school today? What do they see? They see the back of your head. Right? Most communication happens through what do you think? Do you think it's from what we say? The eyes, the expression, yes. It is many things. So there are different categories here. We have words, we have the tone, and body language. So I want you to look at those three right now. You don't have to answer, but think which one of those gives the most impact of communication. Think about it. How many think words? No one. How many think vocal? Some. It's strong. And how many think body language? Wow, you guys are good. You should be up here. Let's look and see what the experts say. So, and I'll just put up the summary because we are really going to be short of time. Body language is the most important part of communication. So when you're listening, you don't want your kids to see the back of your head. Maybe wait when you go home, have some hot chocolate and cookies for them, sit down and, how was your day today? Give them God's drishti and let them talk to you soul to soul, heart to heart. And so body language, to bend forward when someone's talking, have expressions on your face, your eyes, your hands. Really? Number one is body language. So we usually think that we listen through our ears, but we actually listen through body language first. And so if someone's talking to you and they say, oh, really, that's very interesting. Yeah? Oh, yeah. Body language. The body language. Do you know what I mean? You see my body language? Like I'm reaching out to you right now. You know, I'm feeling you. Body language is number one. And number two is tone. What does Baba say? Speak sweetly, speak softly, and speak slowly. And then he also says, sometimes just don't speak. And so the tone that we speak. Okay, kids, it's time to come in. Or would you say, come on, get in here, we have to eat. And so the tone that we say whatever we have to say, but to say it. And Baba teaches us to speak softly, sweetly, and gently. But sometimes, because of familiarity, I know at Peace Village this happens sometimes, we forget these protocols. We just become so familiar with each other. And so what we say has so little value in comparison to the way it's said and the expression through the body. Do you have any questions so far? Sorry? Oh, that's the expert. A is one expert or person. B is a second one. They took the experts, four experts, and they asked them what they thought the ratios were, and that's what it came out to. So it just wasn't one person. And this is mostly from the Listening Association in the USA. So most of our listening happens through our eyes. Was that supposed to be traffic control? No? Okay. It was drama, right? Perfect drama. Look at that. And then drama works for us too. So listening is a learned skill, a learned art. It demands energy, it demands discipline. And most people think that listening is a passive thing, but it's very active. It's very active. And sometimes we meet someone who, some experts, those that think they're experts, they are endless talkers. They never stop talking. And they listen very little. And they're very good in what they're expert in. But if you think about it, they're wired differently. They like to communicate just by talking. They're not wired to hear from others. They're not wired to listen. And these people tend to be kind of tiring. And people sometimes get exhausted by someone who is just endlessly talking. So what I found, I have another example here. How many of you multitask? A lot. Well, I used to multitask and listen at the same time. So in Peace Village, someone would come into my office and I would talk to them and I'd say, "Oh, I hope you don't mind, I'm doing this. You know, we're very busy at Peace Village and we have a lot to do." And then I thought, oh my gosh, this is a barrier when we multitask and listen to someone at the same time. I went to visit someone yesterday here in Gyan Sarovar, and as we were talking, that person was doing his computer. And I was just thinking about how I used to do that. And I stopped doing that. And the first person that came to my office was Brother Vijay from Trinidad. How many of you know Brother Vijay? And I've known him for years, but I've always been a multitasker. When they came to my office, it was a transport office, and I had to do what I had to do. And this time I thought, oh, this is going to be hard. How am I not going to do my work and have to listen to this brother? You know, I might have to tie my hands. But I sat there and I looked at him and I really started listening to what he was saying. And I found that it was very easy. Not only was it very easy, but I felt closer to him, and I felt like I was rewarded by just listening to him. And it seems to open up relationships. You become closer to someone because you listen through your whole body, right? And so I don't know if we became closer because he was listened to. I think it was both. So you might want to experiment with some of these things yourself while you're here and see what the results are. But listening is much more demanding than speaking. How many of you say, well, there's someone that never listens to me? Is there anyone in your life that never listens to you? Yeah? What? Why do you think that is?
Sometimes I
Why is the person, another person, not listening? Maybe it's because they feel that they haven't been heard. And so if, you know, Baba says, you first, right? Me first. And so in listening, this is another yukti for us to listen to those first, to those souls who we feel never listen to us. I think all of us have someone in our lives that they never listen. They never listen. They just are stuck in their own head. But it's mostly because you're not listening. So to take the first step and listen to them quietly, even if it takes them a half hour, an hour, just listen to them. You know, there's this karmic return, right? You get what you put out. And so if you listen patiently and you just listen to them, then they come back and they're more apt to listen to you. Many times when we're in communications, we're listening to words and what people are saying, but there's this thing that's happening under the listening, under the speaking, and that's feelings. And that's something that we can look for when someone is talking to us. So someone is telling you why they're upset with you. Anyone ever get upset with you? But instead of just listening to what they're saying, listen to the feelings, because it's the feelings underneath that's really stirring the emotions that they come up with. And let me see if I can think of a situation. I can't think of a situation personally, but I remember a situation where someone told me that they felt that they weren't listened to by their friends. And so finally their friends listened to them about some kind of a complaint, and they felt that they were understood. One friend said, "Oh, I see what you mean. Your feelings are hurt." Most of the time when people get angry or they have an ego, it's because of this underneath feelings that are hurt. And so we have to kind of look at the situation and see what's hurting them. What's really hurting them? Is it that they felt overlooked? And it might come across as ego, but maybe they just felt that they were dismissed, that you didn't take their opinions or you didn't choose them. Why didn't you choose them? Because maybe they feel they weren't worthy, or they feel that you thought they weren't worthy. And you can ask, how are you feeling? What makes you feel that way? So if you don't believe this, find the most stubborn person you know. The person that never takes anything you say. That one that repeats himself in every conversation. And just listen. Listen to him and listen for feelings. And then say to him, "Oh, I understand. I understand how you feel. You feel you've been overlooked. You feel that I don't understand you." And it opens up a whole new way of that relationship, a whole new way of being. When our emotions are involved, our efficiency to communicate suffers. Emotions distract us, so we have to look at our own emotions when we're speaking to someone. And so we have to think about taking a dignified pause before reacting, stopping long enough to address the emotions that you have inside you and clear them and then respond. So this is a big barrier, talking from your emotions. Emotions and feelings are two different things. Emotions are feelings that have come out of control. I'm so emotional. I get so upset about you. Every time you do this, that's an emotion. But to express a feeling, you know, every time you correct me in front of the kids, I just feel you dismiss me. So those are the feelings. You're talking about feelings rather than being emotional and saying, oh, there you go again. You never listen to me. You tell the kids to listen to you. But do you see the difference of being emotional and expressing feelings? Feelings are the underground part of the way we take a feeling and it becomes emotional. We express it. It's like wild arms and legs. Arms and legs are great when you can control them, right? But if they're just flying all over, people get in fights that way. Do you have any questions about emotions and feelings? Because this is kind of important. You don't get to the heart, though. You never get to the heart of what's caused that emotion. It's just an emotion. And people can be very emotional, but they don't accomplish anything. But if you address every situation through the heart, and Baba says that in every Murali, almost every Murali, right? Remember me with your heart. Be kind to others. Shower with flowers those that defame you. So this feelings, to address the feelings, but you have to be open to watch for feelings that others, why is this person angry? You know? And address the feelings and help them to get to that part. There's another part of listening that I feel is important, and that's assumptions. Do you all know what an assumption is? We assume that everybody thinks like we do. And you can tell if you're assuming in a conversation, if when that person is talking to you, if you feel surprised at what they said, or you feel dismayed. Well, why are they saying that? I mean, that's weird. These are called assumptions. And so when we have assumptions, we have to recognize them. We are all different. And every head that you see in this room is a different world. We think differently, we perceive differently, we have different feelings and different emotions. And so to assume that everyone should be like us, everybody has their own part to play, right? That's called an assumption. And so assumptions stifle communication. If you're assuming, then you're not really listening. You're not trying to get into the other person's world to understand them. You're comparing what they're saying to what's in your head, to the way you're living. And the first person we should listen to is is who? Yourself. Especially when someone's talking. If you hear yourself talking, you have judgments. Why did they say that? Well, that's weird. That's not right. That's not how I would do it. If all of these questions and judgments are coming into your mind, what does that show us? That you're not listening. So we don't listen for agreement of others, but we listen to learn others, to learn of others, to learn what they can share, new things with us. And so I think one of the hardest things for us is when someone is talking to us and you're listening, to just keep focused on what they're saying. Just keep focused on what they're saying, but also focus and make sure your mind isn't going on and on with queries and judgments and assumptions. So you have to be listening to them, but make sure you're really just focused and listening to them. So what I would like you to do is pick a partner now, and I want you to think of a challenging situation that's happened in your past. It could be present, but I think maybe something that's happened in your past. Maybe if it's happening now, you might be emotional. And I want you to share that story with your partner, but you only have a minute because time is of the essence. So pick a partner. You each have 1 minute each to tell your partner of a challenging situation, something that happened in your past that you didn't like, something that upset you, something that just wasn't right. But now, if you're the listener, listen properly. Remember, listen with your body, listen with your heart, listen with your feelings. And I am going to be timing you. Okay, change now. All right, you have 15 more seconds, then you change. Okay, now change partners, not change partners, but let your partner speak and you listen. And notice how your partner is listening. Okay, are you almost done? I know you can go on and on. Did you listen differently? All right, wait for everyone to come back. Did you consciously did you consciously listen differently than you would have from before? Okay, we're back. Om Shanti, Om Shanti. How many of you listened differently after listening to the different aspects of listening? How many of you honestly practiced and listened differently with your body language, with your feelings? Raise your hands. Great. Great. For those, how did it feel for those that were speaking, when you were speaking, all of you were speakers and all of you were listeners? Do we have a microphone that they could share? Okay. Does anyone want to share how it felt when you were a speaker and someone was really listening to you very deeply? Listening from not just an act of listening, but the art of listening. Your partner was listening within the art of listening. Anyone brave enough to come and take the mic? Yeah, you don't have to come up. You can. We have a floating mic, a floating brother, and a floating mic. And floating translators. Oh, okay.
Om Shanti.
Yes.
Om Shanti. So, what is your? What should I describe?
How did your partner do when he was listening? How did it make you feel? Was he a good listener? Or she, he?
No, he was not a good listener, because
he wasn't a good listener. Take the mic away from him right now.
No, he was not learned. So I told him that how I was listening, to have eye contact first and listen, you know, very deeply what he's saying. And he said something to, when I was a listener, he told me an incident in his life. First time I did not pick up, so I asked him, say it again. Then he said again the same story, and then I heard, I understood his feelings, emotions, what you described. And
that's
then
good.
I gave him the reason
very
why
good.
It was happening, and he said, that's right.
Very good. So you were a good listener.
Yeah, I was. But yeah. So thank you very much for.
Okay, thank you very much for sharing. Who would like to share that they feel they had a good listener? Was your partner a good listener? Share something about your partner. Maybe this is an easier way to phrase it. What made them a good listener? How did you feel when they were listening?
Well, my partner was a very good listener. She always has been. She's very gentle, very soft, very loving, and makes you feel that you have all the time in the world.
Mm.
Whereas I felt under time pressure to find a story to tell in 1 minute, when you said 1 minute. But it was, she's very loving, she's very open. And
okay. Very good. So there you know, you're a good listener. Who else wants to, one more, to share if your partner was a good listener? Tell us how your partner was a good listener.
I felt that when I was speaking, I was sharing something very deep and personal and private, and the person listened with their eyes, with compassion, with love, with kindness, with understanding, and not with judgment.
How did it make you feel? You were telling a challenging situation of yourself, right?
Yeah.
How did it make you feel?
It felt like 50% of the weight of that situation was sort of diminished.
The weight gets lifted.
Yeah.
Did she have to say anything?
Well, no, but the eyes were saying.
Yes. She said through body language, through feelings, but not through the mouth. And so this is what really listening is. I have anyone else? Any questions? Do you want to share something? Okay, one more. You're going to tell us about your partner, what kind of a listener your partner was, right?
Yes, what I wanted to share is that...
Hold the mic.
She's not my friend. We are not friends. We don't know each other. She's from USA and I'm from Mauritius. UK and from Mauritius. But I just met her. Just a minute. Mm-hmm. So when I was sharing the challenge with her, the expression on her face, the way she listened, I could feel the empathy, and she was telling me that she go through the same situation, emotional. So we are from very different background, but still, for 1 minute fling, we could become, we could share something that make us feel that we know each other.
Yes, listening brings us closer. That was one of the points. And all you got was a minute or a minute and a half to tell your story. So I want to read these quotes from the Quakers, because I think they're very profound. And what the Quakers say, try to listen carefully that you might not have to speak. Try to listen carefully that you might not have to speak. It's a sin to speak if you're not moved to. It's a sin not to speak if you're moved to speak. And many times, sometimes, I think we feel like we have to speak because it's expected. But it's not. But of course, our religion is silence, right? Our religion is silence. And many times we think just that our religion is peace, shanti. But of course, shanti has a dual meaning. It also means silence, right? I'm asking the Hindi wala here. Yes. And so I hope that my hope for all of us is that we relish the silence that's within us and share that silence with others and help to heal each other, heal the world, heal our relationships. But mainly, I think what you'll find is a healing that happens within yourself. Om Shanti.